Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Right now, I want to get the latest out of Ansonia, where we check in with Mayor David Cassetti this morning. Good morning, Mayor Cassetti. Thanks for stopping by.
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, to you too and your family. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So, Mayor Cassetti, you sort of took the words right out of my mouth. I always try to check in with Mayor Cassetti ahead of time or any of our local leaders and just say, hey, you know, this is a platform for you to talk about what's going on in your city or town. What do you want to talk about?
Right.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I did want to talk about the regionalization, or I should say the lack of, between Ansonia and Derby. First of all, set the tone here, Mayor Cassetti. For anyone who doesn't live in Ansonia or Derby, what are you talking about?
Well, you know, to be honest, to start off, I'm really hoping for a Christmas miracle here, that the Board of Aldermen and the City of Derby come to their senses and let's talk about regionalization and get this through. It's a money saver for both communities. And in the chairman of the regionalization committee in Derby says that Derby's not going to make out well. No, they're going to benefit more than Ansonia. But I'm willing to go that extra mile because in the long run, it's going to benefit both communities of regionalizing. And I'm just hoping that they come to their senses and look out for the best interests of the residents of Derby. This is the right way to go. I've been talking about it. We need to bring it to the voters of Derby and Ansonia. And I know in my heart, because I've talked to both community people, residents, that this would win overwhelmingly support to regionalize the school system here in Ansonia and Derby.
So you want to merge Derby and Ansonia?
Yes.
For the schools. Okay, that's
right.
Your goal. Now,
right.
I'm curious, Mayor Cassetti, you say that Derby would benefit more than Ansonia. How so?
Well, they're going to get more money right off the bat, which will be able to lower their mill rate, their taxes from the state. I mean, it's already been proven that. And I just, you know, Ansonia is going to end up on the short end of the stick a little bit, but that's okay because I'm looking at this long term for both communities, and that's fine with what they want to do.
So I think that's interesting, Mayor Cassetti. Why would you be behind a plan that's going to put your city getting the shorter end of the stick?
Well, yeah, we're getting the short end of the stick in the beginning, Melissa, but I look at things in a long term. I've been talking about regionalization long before I was mayor, 30 years, that the two communities of Ansonia and Derby, which combines a total of 9 square miles, need to combine, whether it's the school system, whether it's the police department, whether it's public works. We need to regionalize to save money, because I got to tell you something. You're looking in the next 5 to 10 years, Derby's going to spiral out of control with their mill rate if they don't do something quick. You know, they treat us during this whole system of working with regionalization like we're the redheaded stepchild. They don't want to do anything with us, whether it's the senior center, whether it's regionalization. They don't want to do anything with us.
Why?
That's why I'm really hoping.
Why
I don't know. It's their Board of Aldermen members. I've talked to them years ago about doing this, working together with Ansonia, and they out and out told me, we don't want to do anything with Ansonia. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know what the problem is.
Is it political?
It very much could be political, but, you know, they have a Democratic Board of Aldermen and a Republican mayor. You know, I feel bad for Zeke. Zeke's a good guy. He's trying to do the right thing, and he's on board with all this. If you talk to the mayor of Derby, he's on board with this.
Yep, but I have. I've talked to Mayor Zekin, yeah.
But these guys, this Board of Aldermen is just so difficult. I'm hoping that they come to their senses and look out for the benefit and of the residents of their town.
We're talking to Ansonia Mayor David Cassetti this morning about the lack of regionalization going on between Ansonia and Derby. I was reading an article out of the Connecticut Post, Mayor Cassetti, and it said one of the board members, or actually I should say several board members in Derby, say that if we were to merge the schools, it, quote, gives Ansonia lopsided control over decision making and could potentially close one of their elementary schools, Irving Elementary School. What do you say to that?
That's a bargaining chip. That, you know, they're concerned that we're going to have the power. Listen, we have a bigger school system than them. You know, so yeah, maybe we got to have one extra person, but maybe that's a bargaining chip that we could say, okay, let's make it equal. Let's do what we can. And we will. I'm willing to do that. And so is the regionalization board. From what I understand, one member of the Derby board would like to do the regionalization and bring it to the voters in Derby and Ansonia, which I applaud. I was talking to the gentleman about a couple weeks ago about it, and he said that he was going to vote in favor of it. The other members of that regional board in Derby were sort of angry with him, but this is the right thing to do. Bring it to the voters. Why do we have to decide this on 10 members, 5 from Ansonia and 5 from Derby, on the future of regionalization? Bring it to the voters. This is what I've been preaching for 2 years since this committee was formed. Let's bring it to the voters.
It does look like, according to reports, that under the Ansonia proposal, Irving Elementary School would close. And it looks like the combined district would operate one high school, one middle school, and 3 elementary schools. So that would obviously shift some people around and what they're used to in their districts. But it's – so you would rather see voters in Derby and Ansonia make this decision, not the two boards?
That's correct. That's the way it should be. And I think that the residents of Derby and Ansonia would wholeheartedly agree with me on that.
Really? I'm not saying it in a vindictive way. I'm saying you feel very strongly, Mayor Cassetti, that residents are going to disagree with the boards.
Yes. Yes. And they'll want to regionalize because they're going to look at the tax savings, money they'll get from the state for regionalizing, and they'll be able to save on their taxes. They'll probably be even able to lower their mill rate.
So how do you make that happen then? Is that even a possibility to say, you know, like, I guess it becomes a question, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, for example, with the senior center, you know, you just said, like, Mayor Zekin in Derby, he's all on board with merging, but because the board says no, it's just not happening. So is it even possible to overrun the board and say, hey, we're going to put this to a resident vote?
Well, the only way that happens, Melissa, is if the 5 from Ansonia vote in favor to do that, and at least one member of Derby. So that you have a 6-4 majority, and then it'll go to the voters. And that's what I'm hearing may happen. So that's the right thing to do. Bring it to the voters.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly will see what happens.
I've set up 2 meetings for the senior center with the Board of Aldermen members of Derby, and they canceled 2 times. And I'm saying, you know what? The door is closing. The door is closing. After January 1st, I'm ceasing all operations with Derby, whether it's the sand, the salt, the fuel, everything. I'm ceasing operations because it's obvious that they don't want to do anything with us. And they voiced their opinion about that, too.
Really quick, Mayor Cassetti, because I know we've run out of time. Has it always been that way, or is it only when you were in office that they wanted to stop working?
From what I understand, Derby is a very political town. Whatever party's in office, you know, they have a split board. They got the Republican, they got the Democrat controlled Board of Aldermen and a Republican mayor. And there's always this infighting that's going on. It happens in Derby. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's a vicious cycle.
Well, certainly, I know we can get Mayor Zekin on because he's been on the show before,
yes.
But maybe we can try to see if we can get some of these board members on and find out what's going on. Mayor Cassetti, we appreciate your fight going on in Ansonia, and we thank you so much for telling us about it here on the show.
Yep, thank you, and everybody have a nice holiday.
Thank you, you too, Mayor Cassetti. We appreciate it. Good morning. We are welcoming to the show Kathy Haslett, who's the Program Director and Coalition Coordinator for Fairfield Cares Community Coalition. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I saw this come across my email earlier this week, and I had to immediately reach out to you because, first of all, has Fairfield Cares partnered up with package stores in Fairfield before?
We have. This is our second year, and we're so excited about this wonderful partnership. This is such a terrific community effort among our local retailers who are selling alcohol. Our package stores are partnering with Fairfield Cares to help us prevent and reduce underage drinking in the community, which sadly is alcohol is the primary substance of use among our youth. And while we've made lots of progress, we still have a ways to go.
I was going to say, you know, I wish more I wish more places would do this with package stores. And it's not to say that package stores don't already do what they can to detect underage drinking. Obviously, not everyone's the same. There are many that are very responsible, and they go through the protocols necessary. But, you know, we can always improve in that area. Professionally, Kathy, could you tell us how big of an issue underage drinking is? I know that probably seems like a very vague question, but, I mean, is it still the same issue we've had for decades and decades where kids are stealing liquor out of the cabinets? Or has it gotten to a point where kids don't even have to steal from their parents? They could just walk into stores and get what they need.
Well, no, stores are being very responsible. It's when I've talked to the package store managers and owners, they show me the stacks of fake IDs that they collect. And unfortunately, these fake IDs are getting better and better, but they are able to be detected. And our package stores, by and large, are doing a terrific job to check those IDs. And even when we were wearing masks, we're still wearing masks when we go into stores because of, sadly, the Omicron now is sort of taking hold. You know, store owners now know, hey, pull down your mask, let me check the picture with the ID, you know, with your face to be sure that it matches. So they, I think by and large, the package stores are doing a terrific job doing what they can. And even some package stores pay their employees a small stipend for every fake ID that they collect, which I think is terrific. You know, it may be like $5, but that's, you know, it all helps. But sadly, alcohol use does remain our main concern among youth when it comes to substance use. And this is true nationally as well as locally. While we've made tremendous progress here in Fairfield, back in 2008 when the coalition just started getting going, the rate of alcohol use among our youth, and this is 7th through 12th grade, was 38%.
Wow.
38%. Now, when we did our survey this past spring, end of March, beginning of April 2021, it was brought down to 15%.
That's significant.
So
wow.
We've made a lot of progress. Now, you know, some of that may be because people, you know, kids were not congregating this past year. But when I looked at, and this just came out, the Monitoring the Future survey is a national survey that gets done every year through the National Institutes of Health. Comparing our local data nationally, our eighth graders, believe it or not, are drinking more than eighth graders nationally. Our 21 data showed that 10% of our eighth graders was drinking in the past month, compared to, as I'm looking at, 7.3% nationally. 10th grade, it's about the same. It's about 13%. But our 12th graders, we have, according to 36% of our 12th graders said that they had had alcohol, and this is more than a sip, had had alcohol in the past month, compared to nationally about 26%.
Okay, so wait, Kathy,
so
I'm just...
We have some work to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to stop you really quick, Kathy, because you threw out a lot of numbers that I think are very significant, but for anyone who's just tuning in going, wait a minute, what's with all the numbers? So in layman's terms...
Yes.
It sounds like we have an issue with underage drinking in Connecticut specifically, even compared to nationally. Why do you think that is the case? Like, why in Connecticut is this an issue?
Well, this is, I gave you Fairfield numbers, not Connecticut numbers.
Okay, that's
Fairfield
just in
numbers.
Fairfield. That's even more concerning, to be honest.
Yes, yes.
Why is Fairfield, why is that?
Well, I think it's a couple of things, quite frankly. You know, Fairfield is, you know, it's a fairly well-to-do community, right? We've got a lot of high-achieving families, and it's pretty social. And, you know, that's kind of the social norm, is enjoying yourself with alcohol. And
so kids growing up in households where they're seeing a lot of socializing.
I think that's part of it. And I also think alcohol, both adult use as well as youth use, is used to unstress. You know, it's not uncommon for mom and dad to come home from work and have a glass of wine or have their cocktail before dinner. And that's a message that kids see right? You know, when parents are doing that on a regular basis, you know, kids are seeing, oh, this is a normal way to unstress. I'm not saying that this is every parent is doing this, but I think, unfortunately, this seems to be a norm just in our society, not just in Fairfield, but in our society.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kathy Haslett is here with Fairfield Cares, and we're talking about a partnership that Fairfield Cares is doing for a second year in a row with package stores in Fairfield. So, Kathy, we were talking about why maybe the numbers for kids in Fairfield are up higher than even national numbers for underage drinking. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing I wanted to point out to the audience that I'm wondering if you could weigh in on. It feels like there's been a shift in the normalcy of drinking. In fact, I'd say the majority of people would imagine when you go to a party that you are going to want to drink. I cannot tell you personally how many times we go to parties, and if I don't drink, the immediate reaction is, oh, my God, you're pregnant. Oh, my God, you're trying to lose weight. Oh, my gosh, what are you recovering from an alcohol issue? Those are the number. Those are the three major things as a woman that I would guess a person gets at my age if you're not drinking at a party. And yet I feel like when I was a kid and I watched adults be at parties, I didn't feel my mom was ever pestered to drink at parties, I guess is what I'm getting at. You know, 30 years ago when I watched my mom go to parties, she was never, it was like, hey, do you want a glass of wine? No, I'm okay. Okay, no worries. There's water, there's soda, there's juice, whatever. But now it's almost not normal to drink. And I think we're raising a generation where you are expected to drink. Am I crazy to say that?
You know, I think it may depend, because what we are seeing, which is so refreshing, quite frankly, is college campuses now are offering sober living residences. And there is, you know, the fact remains that the vast majority of our high school youth and middle school youth are not drinking. And that's an important, I think that's a really important fact that we want to get out there, that the norm is that most kids are not drinking. And I do think most parents are also, you know, conveying those messages to their kids. But I do think our social message, right? You know, when you turn on the television and you're seeing a Bud Light commercial and it's funny and it's humorous, it misses that important content that, well, yeah, that's not appropriate for young people, and it's important to use alcohol responsibly, right? We don't want people to get in the car and drive after they've been drinking. I think we're in a transition point, and I would say more people, at least that I know, and maybe it's my circle of friends, you know, we make sure that we do have non-alcoholic beverages available. And I know a lot of people who are in recovery, you know, from alcoholism. And so that you need to respect. You can't just assume when someone is not drinking, is it, you know, you can't assume the reason why. So I think it's important that we get in the habit, even at our own parties, that we make non-alcoholic beverages available. And it's also perfectly okay to be, you know, alternating between, you know, maybe you used to have a glass of wine, but then, you know, maybe you have a glass of water or, you know, club soda and lime or something like that. Because you don't need to be drinking alcohol all the time. What was wonderful is last year our Fairfield Cares Youth Committee put together a wonderful video for eighth graders, providing that peer modeling of, you know, most teens at Fairfield Public School are not drinking, they're not using drugs. And when you go to a party, here's some strategies that you can use, because your real friends don't care whether you drink or not. In fact, they want you to stay safe. So don't drink. You know, those ubiquitous red cups, right, that we've been hearing about on the beaches of Fairfield. Thank you, Fairfield University students. Oh, my gosh. Right. Nobody knows what's in those cups. So you can put ginger ale. You can put water. Right. And you can don't need to have alcohol to have a good time. And that was the message that our youth was trying to send to the eighth graders, is when you get to the high school realize that most of your peers are not drinking and it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think if we can have more youth stand up and say that and present those wonderful positive messages to their peers, then I think we're going to start to see a turn in some of these, you know, some of these norms that we that we're still seeing, unfortunately. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I think we're definitely in a transition, but we still have a lot of work to do. We still need
sure.
to be sure that, you know, parents, tell your child to delay use. We want that brain to be fully developed, right? It, the brain doesn't get fully developed until mid to late 20s. And particularly when, you know, we're living in a community with some, you know, high expectations. No, we want kids to do well. We want them to succeed. We want them to thrive. Alcohol does not help with any of that.
Very, very true. And that's why this partnership is so cool between Fairfield Cares and some of the yeah. package stores in Fairfield. So during the rest of December and throughout January, when you go into a liquor store in Fairfield, they'll be distributing consumer cards describing the risks of underage drinking. But also mm-hmm. they are going to have available at their registered sleeves of Fairfield Cares liquor locks, stickers that can be put around the opening of a bottle, and just being able to really start that conversation with your kids and to have open conversation about it. And I love this partnership, Kathy. I hope it spreads like wildfire and other towns and cities do something similar. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you so very much. And everybody stay safe.
All right. You too, Kathy. Thank you.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
This was a topic Julius brought to me a couple of weeks ago, actually, and felt very strongly about talking about it. And I think it's something very common. Parents feel like sometimes they fail in raising their kids, and it may feel like it's too late to sort of start incorporating some of these things we're going to talk about. But Julius, good morning to you. The power of positive parenting. Why did you want to talk about this?
Yeah, Melissa. Hi, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I believe that as we approach the holiday season, you really want a peaceful home environment. And everybody strives for peace. And the idea there is that there are concrete things that you can do with your kids. And there you don't have to beat yourself up as a parent. What I'm seeing in a lot of parents is that parents don't like to see their kids unhappy. Parents don't like to see their kids bored. And so then the parent overcompensates and they get this gaming device or that gaming device or this new phone or activities. They have them in soccer and baseball and, you know, three or four or five activities. And the kid is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. It's OK for kids to be bored because parents need to understand that the child needs to learn how to play and go outside and climb a tree. Or go for throw rocks in a river or a pond or something like that. But, you know, I feel like in today's culture, parents are beating themselves up unnecessarily if my child is bored. And they're not teaching their child from a very, very young age the value of play and how to self-soothe and how to not be bored myself.
It's interesting you started off with saying we want peace. I find, and I could be wrong, but I find that parents sometimes believe the only way to have peace is if it's their way or the highway. So kids lose a voice. I agree with everything you just said, Julius. I think too often we find that, here, just give them the tablet, just give them the phone, just give them the this, just give them the that to preoccupy them. And I don't agree with that. However, I think as kids get older, when they get into their elementary, middle, even high school years, they are sometimes demeaned and told until you'll never get it till you're my age. And and they're sort of written off. And I think that also creates a divide between kids and their parents.
Yeah. And that comment, you'll never get it till you're my age, the parent, that tells me right away that there could be an issue with the own individual parent's self-esteem. Because parents who don't love themselves, a lot of times that inability to really be centered yourself. Parents often mistake the notion that their kids exist to fulfill their expectations, and the root of that is selfishness. And parents who really don't have a good handle on who they are can't raise healthy kids themselves. So that requires the parents to take a step back and ask themselves, why am I saying this to my child? Why am I continually beating my child up? I've had men come to me who are addicted to alcohol or crack or cocaine over the years. And the one voice they hear mom or dad say is, you're never going to be nothing. You're never going to be nothing. You're never going to be. And the parent basically is projecting their frustration, their internal anger onto their child. And it's a travesty. It really is. And then they get to be in their later on 20s and 30s and 40s, and they project that into the alcohol realm. So that's part of the dynamics, parents really understanding who they are, loving themselves in a healthy way, and moving forward.
We're talking to Julius Dudix about power of positive parenting. So what are some practical things that parents could do if they want to be more effective in their way of parenting? Yeah.
Above all, slow down and listen to your child and build relationship. Melissa, there's so much value in parents. And I can tell right away when a mother and a daughter come out to me for a session, or a father and a son, I can tell right away the quality of the relationship just in the way their body language is, the way they look at each other, the way they speak to each other. You've got to strive to build relationship from an early age on and take that time necessary to do that. Rules, I've said this before, I believe rules without relationship always equals rebellion. And so you want to try to build relationship, because there's that window between zero and, I'm going to say, 12 or 13 that a parent can jump through and build healthy relationship with their child. And that closes as the child gets older and older and older. But learn to really listen. Do the family dinners. Talk about their day. Develop some traditions around the holiday season. And above all, be the example. I mean, Melissa, there's nothing wrong with drinking. But if a parent cannot control themselves regarding alcohol consumption, they've got to take a step back and say, what kind of an example am I to my child? Mm-hmm. And if a parent is allowing kids to have underage drinking, that's another whole issue. Mm-hmm. So they've got to be the example.
So, Julius, I'm curious, what do you say to the parents who are either the militant, like, hey, you know, you have that relationship of I'm basically telling you what to do, I'm keeping you in line, I'm making you the best person I feel you can be. But then you have the opposite scale, the spectrum, I should say, when parents want to be friends with their kids. You know, like, yeah. There's got to be a middle ground there, right? I mean, you don't have to be all
Absolutely.
Or nothing, it sounds like.
Yeah, sure. You want that, because balance is huge in any relationship. But you want to ask yourself, first of all, how is being the militant parent working for you? How is that driving your child away, or is it helping them to build relationship with you? How is the overly lenient parent, parenting style? How is that working for you? Is that driving your parent away, driving the child away, or is it helping the relationship? But above all, strive to really slow down and just build. Again, if it's not you, the child needs to have some type of network, maybe aunts and uncles who can speak into their lives as the kids get older. You can start this today, even if you have a 14, 15-year-old, try to build a network, a healthy network around the child so their voice is being heard. Because quite often when a kid's voice isn't being heard, that's when the frustration happens, and that's when the negative behavior begins.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And a lot of times, unfortunately, our pride gets in the way. And if your child feels comfortable going to an aunt or an uncle or going to somebody else, you immediately think, oh, it must be because they hate me, or it must be because I'm failing as a parent. But in fact, you might be thriving as a parent because you've allowed them to go to someone who you trust and you care about in your life, and you've exposed them to and you know is a good person, and they at least feel comfortable versus going to not solid people or going to alcohol or going to something else. So it shouldn't be looked at as a failure, actually. I think that's a win. If your kid trusts somebody who you also love,
yes.
I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yes. And what happens is then you think it's a bad thing. You beat yourself up.
Right.
And over that, there's so much pressure on today's parents between work, school, finances, relationship with your spouse. The best thing that moms and dads can do is to get behind the eyes of their child and kind of look at life from their perspective. You know, what do they see? What do they feel about that? And try to really put themselves in their child's shoes so they can see life from their perspective, and then be the effective parent based upon my child's needs, because there are some kids that are a little bit more challenging, stubborn, a little bit more laid back, a little bit more withdrawn than others. And
right.
So you've got to really see life from their perspective.
Yeah, all
but
kids there, are
there's
different.
Always hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. And above all, as the example, as a parent, if you're frustrated, reach out for help, because there are, you know, you don't have to just call me, but there's so many good therapists and counselors out there that want to help. There are so many organizations that can help to kind of help you in your parenting. Don't let time go by before, you know, you end up making some wrong choices and wrong decisions and patterns of behavior. And before you know it, there's crisis. Address it today, I would say.
Well, Julius, I know you can call any therapist, as you mentioned, but people are starting to really love hearing you every week on the show. So if they want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Well, you can make an appointment at 203-243-7714. You can read about me on either LinkedIn or Facebook or the www.bark website. And we can, make an appointment from there. But
perfect.
Melissa, it's time, a time of the year when you really want peace in your home. And so to your point earlier about the selfishness and the pride and all that kind of stuff, drop it and just call a truce. If you and your spouse are disagreeing, I've always said the best thing that a parent can do, a mom can do for their child, or a dad can do for their child, is to love each other and to just come to each other and just say, hey, let's call a truce for the holiday season. And let's just try to focus on our kids having fun and just kind of laying down our differences for now.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Julius, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for being here this morning.
Melissa, thank you for all you do. You have a good day.
Thank you, you too. Oh, man, if only it was that easy to get where you need to go for the holidays. Man, where are the horse-drawn carriages? Fran Mako of AAA, who's here this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Luckily, I'm not going anywhere.
Neither am I.
I'm staying right here. Yeah, I'm going from Milford to Fairfield and back. That's about
yeah.
it.
So. I actually have no desire to travel. When I was growing up, we used to have these huge family gatherings. Mm-hmm. My father had 9 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And it kind of wore on me, because every holiday we were always doing something, going places. Mm-hmm. And now that I've grown up, I like to stay home. I just love staying home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't blame you, Fran. We were the same way. My parents, God bless them, always invested in one vacation a year to take. I don't know why, but they would take all 5 of us. I mean, I was happy about it, but I don't know how they did it. Get us on a plane, and we'd go either to Disney World, real shocker, or we'd go somewhere else. And it was fun. But as a kid, you don't realize the amount of stress that comes with the chaos.
That's
and all the crazies out there. I mean, look, we probably looked crazy. So, I mean, who am I to judge? But now as an adult, you're so right. I mean, just going to the grocery store, my husband and I have to play rock, paper, scissors, shoot, because neither of us want to go. I don't want
right.
to be in the crowds. I don't
and
want
especially
it.
This week, too. You know,
it's awful.
It's a big travel week. You know, we did a survey way back in, it was actually in early November, and we had predicted 109 million folks nationally were going to be traveling. Of course, that was before the
Omicron
recent surge,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure if that number still holds, but whatever the case, out of that number, 4.2 million are going to be New Englanders. So this region is going to be very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with all those people on the road, plus the stress of the holiday season, it has the potential to bring out the beast in a lot of people, which could possibly lead to road rage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're stressed, we're pressured, we're in a hurry. And then when you combine all these elements with alcohol or marijuana, you have the potential for a very deadly situation on roads.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we typically see any kind of uptick during this stretch from Christmas to New Year's? I mean, and not even just with drinking, but really with road rage. I agree, only because everyone is so go, 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 go. And everyone's patience level is so, I mean, it's gone. It's gone.
Now, I guess it depends on what you mean by road rage, because there are all shades of gray.
True. Fair.
It could range from simple tailgating and honking, you know, when a light turns green, to getting out of a car and hitting the other car or person mm-hmm. with a baseball bat. I mean,
oh
that would
gosh.
Be an extreme.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to tell you the truth to track these type of situations, because insurance companies generally track them. It's very hard because not everybody will admit that their behavior is considered aggressive driving or road rage. You know, I did a little research. The most recent one we saw was in Stanford. I think it was in November. There was a situation involving a rear-ender in Stanford. The person got out. Words were exchanged. He punched the other driver. The driver hit his head, and the driver died.
Oh my gosh!
So that's an extreme situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes during holidays, this is when road rage rears its ugly head, and especially now with COVID, because I mean, COVID has created such economic upheaval among people who no longer work. So they're stressed about with money situations. Social services have been disrupted. So there's a lot more tailgating, yelling, and honking aggressively during this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. We're talking to Fran Mako of AAA. So any tips, Fran? And I don't even know, it's not even, I mean, I think an obvious thing is, hey, if you find yourself that you're in a situation, I always say, to take a deep breath and to let the person go. Like, to me, if you're in a parking lot where everyone is just like, go, 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 just wait. And then when there's a clear spot, then go. I'm never the one who has to be an aggressive. I always find defensive driving is best. But I guess what would be more of your advice if you're someone who is just in that mode of rushing, going, you know, maybe you are the aggressive one.
Yeah.
What would you say,
I think all of us as drivers are sometimes aggressive. I mean, whether
we
you
have our moments
to someone, or think about it, you're on I-95 in the first lane and somebody's coming up the ramp and they're one of these slow pokes where they can't step on it. It's, you know,
right.
It's
you
an
speed
acceleration
past
lane for a reason.
Right.
And they can't merge. So you get to the point where both cars are parallel side by side.
The
somebody's
got
to give.
That gives me anxiety.
You know, and usually the person in the first lane who technically has the right of the way will either draw back or speed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it annoys people. I mean, that's a simplistic example.
Right, I know.
But,
so
you know, again, if you're involved in such a situation, you can never, ever control the aggressive driver. That's
mm-hmm.
beyond your control, but you could control your own behavior. And these may be simplistic, but try not to offend others. I mean, do everything in your power to never cause another driver to change their speed or direction on a highway. Think about it. That last example I gave you. Don't force another driver to use their brakes or turn their steering wheel in response to something you have done. And sometimes you can't help it. You know, sometimes you can't help it. Try to be tolerant and forgiving. You know, give the other driver a break. Maybe he or she's having a bad day. And that's kind of hard to do sometimes. And
mm-hmm.
finally, if you're in some kind of aggressive situation, don't respond. Avoid eye contact. Don't make gestures. Try to maintain your space around you. And probably the best time to use a cell phone, if it gets really ugly, is to call 911. And again, these are all simplistic. I mean, I've heard horror stories about people being in an unfamiliar place on a lonely road at midnight and somebody's playing chicken with them or cutting them off, you know, you got to get yourself out of that situation. But again, it's a judgment call on the part of the driver. It's just, we need to be tolerant. We need to be respectful of one another. And that is something society has been lacking for many years. It's very hard.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, this is the time of the year, which is very ironic, where people tend to be more giving and loving, but then true colors unfortunately come out in other situations, which is very, like I said, it's very ironic. But Fran, I think you have a lot of great information, and I appreciate you sharing it this morning. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas, and I will talk to you in the new year. That's crazy.
Thank you so much. You've been great to us all year, and I appreciate that.
Hey, it's no problem. No, you are a true asset to the morning show, so I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will see you in 2022.
Crazy. I'll see you there, Fran. Thank you so much.